What's going on, everyone? Welcome to this week's episode of River City 93. I'm your host, as always, Elliot Barnes. Joining me are two guys that are counting down to October 15th. It's Mr. Matt Myers and Shanir Duran II. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right, I guess. Still, I guess we're dry now with all the rain we had this weekend.
Yeah. How bad did it get out there for you?
It was actually out here. It wasn't as bad. But from what I heard on Sunday going into like the Virginia Beach, Williamsburg area, they got hit pretty hard.
Yeah. Here it was just seemed like a constant. Man, did you get any rain up there?
I don't think it was too different than anywhere else in the general area. Just, you know, constant. Decent rain, but never really like super heavy.
Yeah, it's kind of almost like the kicker season has just been constantly cloudy and rainy and just soggy.
Yeah, but you know, going outside, you know, obviously, hair got wet a little bit, so it got me kind of thinking, do I need a new look? I'm wondering if you guys saw any fresh haircuts, fresh looks out there that you could recommend.
Well, I saw Tyler Pollock's. That was interesting. Shanir, I don't know how well you saw it, but man.
I saw it. I had to stop. I said, hold on. He's not getting away with this.
I don't know. It looked like it was faded. Like, it looked like someone, like, literally, like, faded the back of his head. It was like, I'm just going to leave this. Like, it looked like a. I don't know how to describe it.
Oh, my goodness. That was. Yeah, no, I actually stopped and had to do a stop and rewind and be like, hold on, wait a minute, time out. What was that?
Yeah, it's the it's like the reverse O2 Ronaldo.
Yeah. Except it was in the back of the head rather than the front.
That's what I'm saying, reverse.
Like, oh my gosh. Yeah,
all I'm saying is, I will gladly hop on the Greenville bandwagon, if the rest of their team, full staff, like Johnny Harks, the whole crew, gets the Pollock and makes that, their playoff, ice hockey, they all have the playoff beards, the playoff Pollock going.
Oh, they got to do it. They got to do it.
I will be a hardcore Greenville fan.
Yeah, I will root for Greenville at that point if they all was like, all right, we're doing the Pollock for the playoff run.
And if they don't, they're a bunch of cowards, and they should probably all lose their jobs.
Well, talk about some teams that were a little bit soggy over the weekend. Richmond played Greenville, didn't go the way how we wanted to, ended 2-1. So instead of talking about the game itself, because not much has changed over the last 12 weeks, and instead of just being a snooze fest and boring, let's instead talk about some of the players that stood out. So one of the players that I had that stood out was Mr. Neil Vigneault. And it seemed like over the course of the stretch, even though the team hasn't been playing well, Neil has been a bright spot, even in this game. I think there was one moment, I want to say, in the second half, I think he skinned his defender, like beat his defender on the near sideline, broke through, and left the beautiful ball across the box for Suko, who just couldn't finish on until to finish the ball. But the whole build of him to get out of like pressure situations like was amazing.
Yeah, he was definitely getting doubled quite frequently, as well. And he didn't look like it was letting it faze him at all. And I think being able to keep that cool head on the ball, head up, he's really the only guy on the team who's doing anything like that. A lot of other times it's panic or try to find the pass, or other times it's not panic and don't find the pass anyway. you know, some other guys. So I think some of the other teams realize that, and you know, that's why he's getting these double teams and kind of getting that third shadow, you know, right behind, because he might be able to get out of the double team, but then, you know, somebody's there to kind of clean it up, and just haven't been able to give him that extra support, you know, to make teams, you know, have to play him a little more honest.
I mean, he's been the main connector and creator in his team thus far. I know a lot of his assists so far have come from corners and whatnot, not from regular direct play. But, I mean, there's a lot of chances out there where if we can finish them, they will definitely be higher up the assist sheet, you know. And
not hold that. If only he was finishing his own, too, because that won the first half.
Yeah.
You know, it was right there on a platter for him, and he just, you know, chipped it wide.
When I saw that chance happen live, I was just wondering, it's like, all right, did he not get a good connection to it? Did he just mishit it? No, it seemed like he got it. It's just, I don't know if he hit it just awkwardly.
I think maybe try to get a little too cute with it and, you know, chip it over the keeper and he sliced it.
Yeah, probably. Probably so. But as far as Neil goes, like, it might not be too many bright spots, but he's one of the few out there. So, are there any thoughts on Neil's performance in this game?
Yeah, I think Neil, I remember when he first came back from the injury, we were like, I don't know. Neil doesn't look like he's got it. It took him a game or two to kind of shake off the injury after he came back. But after those probably initial two games, he just has been consistently solid, and in this game it really showed. I think this game was the apex of that. He was a nightmare for Greenville. He really was just a complete nightmare, and he was driving the ball at Greenville's backline, and that's one thing that I feel like we needed a lot more of throughout this season, and I feel we haven't done as much. And we could see that the kickers did create a lot more chances in this game than they have regularly in the past few games. They looked a lot more threatening. Unfortunately, unable to convert in the end, getting the ball in the back of the net. But Neil Vigneault is a big key to that. He's a big key to that with how he drives forward with the ball. So. And it's crazy because he doesn't have pace, but he's still able to just completely skin defenders alive.
He's so technical, man. Like, yeah. I mean, we now know at least once a game, Neil's going to skin somebody. He's going to open up a huge gap in the middle of the field where he can just drive forward to create something. Now, whether or not someone's going to finish that chance is totally probably not going to happen. But we know Neil's going to create opportunity or chance where he's going to skin somebody alive.
Yeah,
it was just frustrating. Like, to see that chance Neil made and Suko not finish, it was like, it's almost like when you play basketball and you have a great cross up and you go pull up for three and you just miss it wide. Like, you don't even hit the rim and it just sucks the entire air out the room. You're just like, yeah. But moving on, another player that stood out in today's performance was Michael Hornsby. He didn't play in his normal left back spot, played more so left wing. But so far, first start in left wing, did pretty well there. I don't know if it's something that I want to see going forward, but yeah, given what was happening, it seemed to do a great job out there.
I mean, I was just going to say, I think this formation with Hornsby playing as left wing is really giving me vibes of we need a back three and Hornsby needs to be a wing back. Because
you're right. You're not gonna lie. Like, there was a lot of times where, like, the ball would be on Hornsby's side and you would see them just shift to a back three. Or
yeah,
kind of like a wing back. He would just talk. It happens sometimes. But yeah, my fault.
No, I think that's the best way to go about it. The problem is, who would we have as right wing back? If Hornsby's playing left wing back, I'm not sure that we have the personnel for that other side. We have players that could do a job here and there on that side, and I think that's one of the biggest things. And this I think was a good experiment to put Hornsby as the left midfielder in this game, kind of left midfielder, left winger. And he did well. Like you said, he did very well. He was a nightmare to deal with, much like Vinyals. And he was providing a lot of service and a lot of width to the game.
Yeah. Anything from you, Matt, or Mr. Hornsby?
Yeah, I thought he was solid. I think the one downside is I think a lot of the benefit of when he is playing left back is that he's able to, in essence, get almost a running start and be able to kind of attack, you know, the defense and seeing everything in front of him. When he's playing on the wing, he's he's obviously, you know, generally going to be, you know, further up the field already. So, you know, kind of takes a little bit of the, you know, the overload element that he brings out of it, because it's just where a guy is normally expected, you know, to be. So it's not to say that, you know, he was did anything wrong in that regard. It's more of a nature of playing the different position. Yeah, there's going to be, you know, slightly different expectations, you know, from the defense about where you're going to be and where you're going to be found. And, you know, it changes his effectiveness style. You know, it doesn't necessarily diminish it. It just changes the way that the attack works, because, you know, Beckett, who we'll talk about in a little bit, he's just not the same kind of left back, you know, right now in this point in his, you know, career. So you just changes the dynamics some. I think the other thing is, you know, for as good as Hornsby did, it's an indictment of, you know, the wingers out there that, you know, the coaching staff, you know, decide, all right, let's go, you know, for our, you know, if he's healthy, he's starting at left back every single game, let's try him at left wing now, you know, instead. And yeah, mostly worked. So you might, you know, continue to, you know, see that again. But yeah, I think it's not just, you know, an assessment of Hornsby. It's part of the greater assessment of that whole position that we've talked about ad nauseum this year.
Yeah, it sounds talking to Darren in the post game for me and Matt, it pretty much feels as if like Darren has a lot of frustration with the pieces that he has out there in the wing. So maybe, you know, the best thing for anyone that plays the wing is not to do, to at least try, put in some level of effort, and maybe we'll make Darren somewhat happy out there. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know. The wing spots out there this year have been a constant merry-go-round, and it doesn't feel like we found any slight combination that can succeed there over the course of games. And it's unfortunate, but the guy that replaced Hornsby in that left back spot is Mr. Beckett Howe. Got his first start. How do we think he did? I thought he did pretty well. I don't remember anything bad out of him. You know, I kind of like Matt, like you said before, like when it comes to defense, like if you don't say their name, it probably means like they did a good job. And that's what I felt like he did for Beckett. Like he did the job he needed to do and got out of there clean.
I think Beckett was a bit fortunate in this game. That's not talking negatively of him. It's just the fact that when you kind of think back to the game, most of Greenville's drives forward and ventures forward were on their left, kickers right. So I think because of that, Beckett wasn't taken to task as often as he would be in any other game where teams are attacking down both sides.
Yeah.
It almost every single attack forward by Greenville was down that left channel, coming at Fitch and Ani, rather than the other side. So I don't know if Hornsby being as aggressive as he was on that left side was driving that side back, forcing the attack to come from the other side. But that could have been what was kind of putting Beck in situations where he was not taken to task as much, and he was kind of just holding down the fort in that position. Like you said, he didn't do anything wrong. I don't think he was in any really stressful situations where he could end up doing something wrong. But I would want to see him again in this position against a more balanced attack.
I mean, there's that, but the flip side of it is if a team, you know, sniff out a weak link, you know, they're not just going to ignore it, you know, because, oh, well, we've got, you know, our guys playing on the other side of the field. They'll, you know, Harkins is a good enough coach. He'll adjust if, you know, he thinks Howell, you know, can be exploited and didn't see, you know, a need, you know, to do that. So I don't think he can, you know, hold it against him that because Greenville decided to, you know, focus on the other side of the field. That's not on him.
Yeah. No. I'm not holding it against him. I'm just saying I want to see another game with him in that position. I want to see us go against a team that's going to go down both sides. I want to see him more challenged and get to be able to give a better assessment.
Yeah. Well, we know he's not afraid of a tackle. I think he cleared out of Castro. He
got a yellow card. Oh, yes, he did. Yes, he did.
After the game, we asked him after the game, and he was just like, yeah, that was my first tackle. But he was like, I'll take it.
First foul, he said, yeah.
Yeah. He's like, first foul, I'll take it. Like, all right. Get in there, son. He's not afraid of a tackle, which I love. And the last player that I had that played well was, of course, the goal scorer, Mr. Ryan Sarakowski. Got to go right at halftime, right before we went into the half. And, I mean – let me ask you guys this. Am I being a victim of bias just because he scored? Or did he truly have a good game overall?
I think he had a good game.
Okay.
I think he had a pretty decent game. He was very active in the final third. And, of course, that goal, when the way he scores that goal just shows a certain level of there is a bit of a fortunate bobble, but you make your own luck, and he capitalized on that bounce. It wasn't a very easy bounce to handle, but he handled it very well and just slots it home. That composure, you could see it a little bit throughout the entire game. You could see sparks of it here and there of him being put under pressure and still trying to do something, still trying to create something rather than panicking. I think he had a very solid performance. I think I would rather see Sarakowski on the right than on the left. And because he's been playing most of the time on the left, and I think the right side is his side.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I think the big thing here is that he's a guy who's, you know, willing to look for his own shot, you know, not just on, you know, the goal, which obviously was good. And we don't see enough of that, you know, out of most of the guys on this team. But there are other times too, where you could see that he was, you know, looking first to see if he could be able to get, you know, his own look, his own shot, you know, off. And if that didn't, you know, come, look to be able to work on doing the usual cycling around, you know, that we would do. And, yeah, selfishness isn't necessarily a bad thing in an attacker, and I think, you know, seeing, you know, the appropriate amount of that element out of him, he was good. It wasn't just a matter of, hey, I'm going to try to dribble everybody all on my own, I'm scoring no matter what. Not that kind of selfishness, but, you know, the appropriate type.
Taking a shot when you got the chance and not second guessing yourself. Yeah, no, definitely so. Right now, I think, with this goal, correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't that put Ryan in the top three of goal scorers for Richmond this season?
Probably. I mean, that's what, three for us, right? Charlotte, Chattanooga, and this one. So you got Emmy up top. Zhao has four, I think.
Yeah, let
me see. Neil's got three. I don't think anybody else is up there.
No, Ryan is second. Yep, Ryan's second. Emmy got 10. Ryan has four. Neil has three.
I think they're counting that one from when he was at Tormenta, though.
Are they? They might be.
I mean, I might be forgetting one, but I don't think I am.
No, you're right. They are counting the one from Tormenta. Because he's only scored three in Richmond. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Emmy, Ryan, Neil, and
Zhao. Stroud's got four, I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of the same thing we've seen it every year other than last year. It's Emmy and then who's the secondary goal scorer.
Yeah. And we thought it was going to be Bentley, but he didn't make an appearance and hasn't really happened. That's something as well that possibly needs to be looked at for next year, finding like a definite second goal scorer. But we'll get into that later when we get into the offseason podcast. But even though there was a loss, there are some players that didn't quite hit the mark. And the two that I have is Justin Succo and Chandler O'Dwyer. I put Justin Succo mainly just because he didn't really seem to do anything to impact the game. Like, it didn't feel as if, you know, see, where Justin Succo was at the beginning of the season to now, it just, I'm not seeing that same Justin. And maybe this is just not a good opponent for him. But, you know, when we see Jao out there, I feel like there's a buzz, there's an electricity, there's some kind of connection or attacking grit. Justin, I don't know. He just seemed to get kind of lost in the sauce. He kind of just got lost out there. Didn't really have any impactful plays to maybe like, oh, okay. You know, Matt Shanier, did you guys see anything different from what I saw?
No, not really. It was a lackluster performance from Succo. There were a lot of mishandles, bad touches, bad decisions in terms of balls that could have been played into situations that could have come a serious issue for Greenville that he just did not do. I don't know if I'm trying to figure out what kind of shifted things and got him to the point where he's not as productive. No, he wasn't on the high level of, let's say, last year's Ethan Bryant, but he was at least holding down the fort as an eight for a decent while earlier this season. I don't know if there's been a change of system, a change of tactics that he does not suit him very well that has been going on. I don't know, but It hasn't been with Succo. It really hasn't.
Anything from you, Matt?
I mean, I couldn't tell you a thing he did in the game other than miss that chance in the second half.
Let's talk about this chance, man, because I'm not going to lie. I don't – you got to at least shoot that, man. Like, it seemed like he was waiting for the perfect opportunity for him to settle and then shoot it. But by that time, the goalkeeper was already stretched out coming out. If he takes that first time, I don't know. It just seemed like a chance that just went awry.
This is what happens when you end up going several games without creating many chances. Your players, you kind of get finish amnesia. You kind of forget how to finish, and it's what you would say is like the striker's curse. Like, think about a game where a striker is like kind of isolated and not involved for a long, 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 long period of time, and then when they finally get a chance, they completely whiff it because they've been so disconnected from the game for so long that they're not sharp. And I feel it's the same thing with the kickers as a whole. We've gone so many games without creating that many chances that when we finally do create chances, our players forget how to shoot. And I think in that situation, that was like a perfect example of that, because you take even with it being Succo, you take him, you put him in a team that's clicking and creating chances and shooting on goal and making the goalkeeper of the other team work, I guarantee you he finishes that shot. His mind would be in a different place. Mindset would be completely different, and the confidence of the team would be a lot higher.
Yeah. It would be. My confidence would have been a lot higher if we finished that chance. I mean, that's coming off of the Neil cross-up, man. I'm telling you, man, it was – Neil did such a disgusting move that everyone stood up. We were all like, oh. And just to see Suko miss it, it was just like, oh. Like –
it's like just completely ruined a good thing.
It did. It took a possible Sports Center top 10 moment and just all right, made it a goal kick. Yeah. The other player that I mentioned was Mr. Chandler O'Dwyer. Now Chandler's being put on this side of the list mainly because he got body from him. Right. You could argue that it's a foul, but if it happens against us, we hate it if it's called a foul. So Chandler's been playing in the center back spot twice this year, and twice he's had mistakes that have led to goals. Now, talking to Sawaski post-game, which, by the way, if you don't know, we do the post-game and pre-game chats on Instagram Live. So make sure to follow us on Instagram at River City 93 so you can listen along to those. Sawaski, when we asked him about it, he said that he tested out there. He tested out very highly there because they know they had to move a different player there in the center back with Dak being out injured. So they tried Chandler there again. And stats-wise, he seemed to do fine. It's just I feel like anytime you play him back there, there's going to be a mistake in him. And it's just whether or not how much that's going to hurt you.
Yeah, a bad one too. I don't know. Again, I'm looking at this like if we had better broadcast camera angles, I could give you a definitive answer of whether that was a foul on Dwyer or not. But you can't be going down that easy on a breakaway and you're the last defender. I don't know. The wide shot camera angle, I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell he was clipped or hit or what, but I'm not gonna use that in his defense, because in that situation, if anyone needs to be going down in that situation, it needs to be the striker, not the center back.
Hey, look, I'm not going to lie. I would not be mad if Chandler pulled the shoestring tackle. You remember Troy's tackle at Chattanooga? Where he tackled a guy literally on the goal line. Like, I wouldn't be mad if Chandler just got body and was like, all right, I'm going to just pull dude's foot. He got a record.
I wouldn't have been mad. Yeah, kind of what you were saying, though. Like, a lot of the stuff looks like it should be good with Chandler at center back, you know, but that's a position where you can't be prone to a critical error. And, you know, he's had two just absolute howlers, you know, in that spot that have not just led to goals, have been the direct cause of goals. Like, I mean, there's nothing, you know, Will is going to do on the, you know, that other than, you know, hope that Caster shoots the ball right into his stomach. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only way. Like, Caster started dribbling, like pump faking it. It's like, as a goalkeeper, it's like, all right, at this point, it is what it is.
Yes. I mean, it was so slow motion. It was like a training exercise, you know, where you just decide to go one-on-one with the keeper and, you know, get a weight.
Yeah.
And eventually, you know, the keeper's going to flinch first.
Yeah, for real. So, I mean, honestly, at first when it happened, I thought it was a foul, just the way how everybody stopped. I thought it was a foul. And then it seemed like the ref was like, oh, no, it's a goal. Yeah. Oh, okay. It's
like, all right. If you're him, part of your draw, part of your appeal is that you're a good big body, you know, that's what we liked about him in the center, you know, of the midfield, is that he'd be able to go in there and put some steel in to the midfield, especially when we needed to. you just can't get, you know, bodied like that. You can't get, you know, little brother, big brother like that.
No, you can't. It's not a good look. So, that's how the game played out. I mean, there's some good takeaways, some not so good takeaways. Kind of been the sum of the stress.
Like one other thing that semi notable for me, I thought when Gordon came on, he provided a little bit of a flash.
Oh yeah,
you know, up the wing. Right. I mean, obviously didn't lead to a goal, but you know, we saw the good version of the substitute Owain.
Yeah, the good version. Yeah. There you go. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
We also saw Nicholas Simmons come on, Gabe Cox. I thought they did fine with the minutes they had. Nothing memorable, but Gabe had another chance that he could have scored. He could have scored an absolute rocket.
Yeah, good save.
Yeah. And I think Simmons had one, but I think he just side-footed and missed the net as well. But, yeah. I mean, is this all right? Performances. So moving on. Next game we got coming up is Tormenta. Next weekend, that's another home game. Hopefully, there's no tropical storms to hold everybody back. I'm not gonna lie, even though this game was on a Sunday at 4 p.m., which I'm not gonna lie, I kind of like. I can do like one Sunday game every 2 months. I can do that. It was still a decent crowd. It was still a good turnout there for the Kickers. I don't know how many was expected to come on Saturday, but it was still a strong crowd. The River City Red Army, the drums section was amazing. I don't think I've ever heard the drums be that loud, but I like it. I mean,
there were more there.
Oh, yeah. How many – you, Matt, you was in the set. How many drums were in the section alone?
Probably,
I feel like everyone had a drum.
It was probably like 7 or 8, which was very fine, cool, but – then everybody looks around like, why is nobody joining, you know, the chants? Why is nobody joining the songs or anything? Because you can't hear anything, you know, over the drums then. It's like, this ain't hard, people.
We got to kind of spread all the drums out because they're all, like, clustered together. And it's just like, dude. It's like, all right, guys, we got to spread this out a little bit.
Yeah, you can't have all of the boom coming from, like, one row.
Yeah, got to spread this out a little bit. but Tormenta game's coming up. Of course, Ryan Sierkowski played for them at the start of the season. Let me ask you guys this. What are your guys' expectations for this game, and what are some things you are looking for in this matchup? Of course, before you answer the question, I just want to put this out there. Emmy is expected to be back, so that is a positive. No word on that. And I'm assuming this might be another star for William Pompous.
You willing to put $5 on Emmy being back? I think I got my answer. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. One of the biggest frustrations for me is that the lack of transparency when it comes to stuff like that.
Well,
I mean,
no, there's the fence. He did say a while ago, he was like, no, if he's out with a lower leg injury, but they ain't gonna broadcast it out there. It's kind of like it's kind of like how the Patriots did Tom Brady. Every week put him on the injury list with calf injury.
I mean, it's one thing to you know, play mind games, but it's another thing when literally anytime anyone is injured, it's like a cloak and dagger situation. It's like, dude, this isn't CIA information. Just what's going on with the player? We are the fans. We want to know what's going on with our players. Like it just doesn't make sense to be so cloak and dagger about players' injuries. Far bigger clubs than the Richmond Kickers don't hide their injuries like that. Like, it's just, I don't know. It just irks me.
Yeah. But yeah, so back to the original question, but tournament is coming up. What are you guys' thoughts and expectations for that matchup there?
I think it's going to be a tough one. They got, you know, some of their firepower rolling right now. Like, you know, Akali's scored a bunch of goals recently, a bunch of actually nice goals recently to kind of carry them into their fight for the playoffs. You know, they seem like the most likely option of knocking Greenville or Madison out of the playoffs at this point. Yeah, so I'm sure they're going to, you know, be gunning for it because for them it's probably a must win.
Yeah.
You know, me being realistic, so I think there's going to be, you know, opportunities to be able to exploit that, you know, on a counterattack. And it's not like Tormenta has a good defense, you know, to begin with. You know, you look at, you know, the table, they score a lot of goals, but you know, they're also close to the bottom, you know, and goals against. I mean, they've let in more than we have this year. I mean, they scored a truckload more, you know, so we could get in one of those 2-2, 3-3 games potentially and, you know, see if where the you know, final ball ends up bouncing. So I don't think it's going to be a boring one, to summarize.
Yeah. It's not. It's going to be interesting. Shanir, what's your thoughts, man?
I'm just. a little concerned. Like Matt said, Tormenta seem to be having some good momentum going right now, which kind of puts us in a tough situation, especially since we're just completely just in the biggest of ruts. Lost 4 of the last 5 and Tormenta are coming off of 2 straight wins. They're like, again, like Matt said, their top goal scorers are on a roll right now, are on a hot streak. I just don't, from the performances we have seen so far, I don't trust that the Kickers can be the ones to stop this forward momentum from Tormenta. I really don't. And I say 4 losses out of the last 5, but you can kind of say 5 out of 5 because that draw was against Central Valley, and that I count as a loss. but yeah, I don't know. It's going to be a very tough one. It's going to be extremely hard to slow Tormenta down right now with the way we're playing.
I mean, anything can happen. Probably won't happen, but anything can happen. I don't know. I mean, if I'm Darren, and it's probably going to be a little bit more experimentation, I wouldn't be surprised if Nicholas Simmons gets a start, if Landon Johnson comes back in the lineup. Maybe Gabe Cox gets more minutes. If Amy does come back, I mean, that does give us an extra boost. But I don't know. I don't have huge expectations at this point. But yeah, it'll be a competitive game. It's not like the Kickers are going to go out there and get steamrolled or anything. It'll be a competitive game. It's just a matter of fact of can they avoid having a letdown in the second half? You know, they can keep things steady and even during the first half. Can they avoid a letdown in the second half? History hasn't proven that so far this season, but that's the hope. But yeah, you know, I'm not going to lie, though. There is a part of me that doesn't really mind losing to Tormenta because if Fort Madison loses points, that just means they're closer to missing out on the playoffs, and I would love it for that pink team to miss out on the playoffs. I would just absolutely love it. But guys, anything else from y'all before we wrap up the show?
No, it's right. 6 o'clock starts now.
Yeah, there you go. 6 o'clock PM starts now. Two more home games left. One more road game on the 6th when we play Knoxville. So, yeah. So, yeah, listeners, as always, we just want to say thank you for taking the time out of your day for listening to our show, because without you, we couldn't do this. We got some good content coming out for you. We got articles back. So be on the lookout for articles from Darren, Dak. We got a good interview with Mika coming out soon within the next week. That was talking mostly about the Youth Academy and how that structure is building out and whatnot. But for that being said, for Matt, for Shaneer, we will holler at you guys next time. Be safe and be easy. We'll holler at you guys next week. Up the roofs.